singing, and I really enjoy your music, and I'm so glad that you were here. And yeah, thank you so, so much for being here and for being so honest with me, especially. And
thank you for
sharing your story. It's so, so important to speak about it and make people aware of it, and such stories are so, so important. So thank you so much, Michelle, for being here. I would love to talk more with you, but unfortunately the next show, Democracy Now!, is coming up soon, so kind of have to stop here, unfortunately. But I had so much fun with you, and I really enjoyed your music, and I hope many people enjoyed your music too here on CDSF 90.1 FM. And yeah, thank you so, so much.
Thank you, everyone. And just lastly, if you want to find me on the internet, my name is Michelle Hayoka, MichelleHeyoka. And my Instagram is at Michelle Hayoka. And you can find my music on all streaming platforms at Michelle Hayoka. And stay tuned for my newest album coming July of this year. Thank you, everyone, so much.
Yeah, thank you. And check out our website, cdsf.ca, and our Instagram to check out Michelle. And yeah, tune in on Spotify as well. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. This is Democracy Now!. We are out. I'm Vivian, and this was Speak Up. Enjoy Democracy Now!
Everybody talk that talk, talk that talk, talk that talk. Everybody Everybody talk that talk. No, I'm really about that walk. Everybody talk that talk.
Raised in a city called Arari, with two parents, hardworking, no gunplay. Bad stories about hard work, school all day. Made me wonder when they gotta learn anything. When I'm raised in a place called Zimbabwe, where the cops get paid on the highway. You gotta know these streets when you come to my ears. They're trying to turn your wallet to a payday. So I'm sharpening the blade of my katana, pushing in your loyalty, will you be there mañana? Cause some jumped on the train, stepped on my couch, next thing they were shitting on my nyanya. But it's all good, bitch, burn, let's learn. What you do now ain't none of my concern. Last time rapper came through sunscreen, here's for the sunburns, but it left in the urn. Hey, Changu Chabata, 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 Changu Chabata, 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 Msuru, Chabata, Msana, Changu Chabata, 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 Chabata.
Just landed by BC on up by Vancouver, baby. And the plan I had to stay with so-and-so wasn't panning out, so I reached out to Gunnar Morphe and I'm like, I'm dad, I'm doing it, or I'm dad. So can see. Or don't get come dad. Muru wants to look spark, I'm dad. Sheesh. So that's what I don't get come dad. Muru wants to my baby, I'm fine. Money don't grow on trees. Money put my mind at ease. I heard money can't make your dream. Saga wangu runge kamdara. Uru wanza zukspaku amfana. That's why me and my niggas never sleeping. 24/7, we always working, nigga 7-11. A crown for my daughter and my son is my only attention to IMI. It's synonymous with African legend. I'm trying to get it, I swear it's like I say I don't need it. There's a homie in my circle, look, I probably use it. That's a vibe I'm trying to get on. Dead on, if you get it, I go harder every time I'm feeling step. Yo, money is a funny thing, ain't it? You can literally go make it off a caption. You can easily go make it off a capping. And turn around and half a million people ask, yo, what happened? You go from Branson to Lisa, walk into your and balling you.
President Biden defending the stability of the U.S. bank system after third largest bank failures in the nation's history. How executives at the now collapsed Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank pushed for the weakening of banking regulations enacted after the 2008 financial crisis.
The money don't grow
then
on trees.
We go to Atlanta.
But money put my mind at ease.
The police killing can't make your dreams.
My father keeps saying that she saved more. He's spending too much money in the studio. It's been 10 whole years, keep saying next year. I ain't even seen one single video. Man, I feel bad for the dude. Sons of creators, African dad with some West End problems. All he ever wanted was a loyal accountant. Vacays, beach waves, hell every time. But he said he gotta look up for his boys. It's why I'm focusing on silence and the noise. Too many capping in my ear, they get easily annoyed when I tell them the advice and some shit that I avoid. I want my family with sand and the toes.
To this answer, and that I have not been given, and I deserve. I deserve answers.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Joe Biden has approved a massive ConocoPhillips oil and gas development in Alaska. The $7 billion Willow Project's expected to produce 180,000 barrels of oil per day, adding some 240 million metric tons of greenhouse gas pollution to the atmosphere over 30 years. Some of Biden's fellow Democrats, including Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, blasted the decision, saying it, quote, leaves an oil stain on the administration's climate accomplishments and the president's commitment not to permit new oil and gas drilling on federal land, unquote. This is Kristen Monsell, senior attorney with the Center for Biological Diversity.
I think he is trying to appease the Alaska delegation and, you know, fossil fuel cronies in Congress. And that's incredibly disappointing to see. We don't have time to compromise when it comes to addressing the climate crisis. Biden can't have his cake and eat it, too, when it comes to handling what is an existential crisis.
To see our interview on the Willow Project, go to democracynow.org. In southern Africa, more than 100 people have been killed in Malawi and Mozambique after Cyclone Freddy brought high winds and heavy rain to the region. Most of the dead were Malawi's commercial capital, Blantyre, where overnight mudslides washed away homes and buried sleeping residents.
It was too bad in the night, but now that it is daytime, I can feel the loss. I have never seen something as terrible as this. My neighbors' houses are all gone. The family members are gone. They are missing. In some instances, the father is alive, but the wife and the children are gone.
Cyclone Freddy was one of the strongest storms ever recorded in the Southern Hemisphere and the longest-lasting tropical cyclone on record. It made landfall for a second time as scientists with the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change met in Switzerland to finalize its policy document for shaping climate action over the rest of the decade. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres addressed IPCC delegates by video.
This will be the first comprehensive IPCC report in 9 years and the first since the Paris Agreement on climate change. It could not come at a more pivotal time. Our world is at the crossroads and our planet is in the crosshairs. We are nearing the point of no return, of overshooting the internationally agreed limit of 1.5 degrees Celsius of global warming. We are at the tip of a tipping point.
Brazil's National Space Agency warns in a new report that deforestation in the Brazilian Amazon hit a new record high for the month of February last month. About 124 square miles of rainforest cover was destroyed, despite efforts by newly inaugurated President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva to reverse rampant deforestation that was encouraged by his predecessor, Jair Bolsonaro. This is Romulo Batista with Greenpeace Brazil.
We just left behind a government that supported deforestation and completely abandoned actions to control it. As long as the enforcement and control do not reach the entire region, illegal deforestation may exploit that to ramp up the deforestation.
President Biden sought Monday to shore up confidence in the U.S. banking system after the rapid collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank sparked investor panic. They were the second and third largest bank failures in U.S. history. On Monday, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren demanded a federal probe into potential insider trading by executives at the failed banks and called on U.S. regulators to claw back six-figure bonuses paid to managing directors at SVB just hours before its collapse Friday. We'll have more on this story after headlines. North Korea has fired two short-range ballistic missiles into waters off its eastern coast. It was the second such test in 3 days and came as the U.S. and South Korea launched 11 days of war games in a major military exercise dubbed Freedom Shield.
President Biden has formally unveiled plans to arm Australia with nuclear-powered submarines in a bid to counter China's influence in the Indo-Pacific. Biden announced the agreement alongside UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese at a meeting in San Diego Monday. The deal will see Australia equipped with three conventionally armed Virginia-class nuclear-powered submarines by the 2030s, with an option to purchase two more subs as part of a new military alliance called AUKUS. In Beijing, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson called on the U.S., U.K. and Australia to abandon what she called a Cold War mentality and zero-sum game.
We believe that the cooperation among the three countries poses a serious nuclear proliferation risk, impacts the international nuclear non-proliferation system, stimulates the arms race, undermines peace and stability in the Asia-Pacific region, and is widely questioned and opposed by regional countries and the international community.
Biden's meeting with leaders of the UK and Australia came as the Pentagon released its proposed $842 billion budget for fiscal year 2024, requesting $25 billion more than Congress approved last year. It will be the largest so-called peacetime budget in U.S. history. A new study finds the United States remains the world's top arms trader. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, SIPRI, reported Monday the U.S. accounted for 40% of the world's weapons exports between 2018 and 2022, selling arms to more than 100 countries. India remains the world's top arms importer, followed by Saudi Arabia, which accounted for nearly 10% of the international arms trade. About 80% of Saudi weapons purchases come from the United States. The Biden administration's extending humanitarian relief for thousands of Ukrainian refugees who fled Russia's invasion and were processed along the Mexican border, allowing them to remain in the United States beyond the program's initial one-year limit. Similar relief for tens of thousands of Afghan refugees is scheduled to expire in the coming months, but it's unclear whether that relief will be extended, even as Afghanistan is facing a worsening humanitarian crisis following the Taliban's return to power in 2021. Advocates have accused President Biden of hypocrisy in his treatment of Ukrainians compared to most other asylum seekers and refugees. In Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, hundreds of asylum seekers, mostly from Venezuela, were blocked by barbed wire and riot police Sunday as they tried to cross into El Paso, Texas, to finally apply for relief. Some reported they were pepper sprayed. Many of the asylees have waited in Mexico for months, facing extremely dangerous living conditions.
Please, we want an answer. The customs app does not work. I am alone. We are alone here. We have been robbed and extorted, and we have no answer. We just want to get in to have a future and help our families. Nothing else.
In Honduras, President Xiomara Castro has legalized the use of emergency contraceptive medication, overturning a ban that was over a decade old. Castro's executive order was issued on International Women's Day last week. The pill was prohibited following the 2009 U.S.-backed military coup that put a right-wing authoritarian government in power. Abortion is still illegal in Honduras, including in cases of rape, carrying a sentence of up to 6 years in prison for the people who undergo the procedure as well as those who provide it. Here in the U.S., a group of Republicans in South Carolina's State House have proposed legislation to make getting an abortion punishable by the death penalty. The measure would amend the state's code of laws to grant zygotes, or fertilized eggs, quote, equal protection under the homicide laws of the state. The bill has gathered the support of nearly two dozen South Carolina House Republicans who now co-sponsor it. Meanwhile, in Texas, a man has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against three women he accuses of illegally assisting his ex-wife and having a medication abortion. Texas's abortion law allows private citizens to file civil suits against abortion providers or anyone who aids or abets an abortion after 6 weeks. In the United Kingdom, more than 36,000 junior doctors have launched a 3-day strike over pay and working conditions at the government-run National Health Service. The walkout follows similar strikes in recent weeks by nurses and ambulance staff. This is Dr. Robert Lawrenson of the British Medical Association, who joined picket lines in London Monday.
So junior doctors over the last 15 years have lost 26.1% of their pay due to inflation. And all we're asking for is for that pay to be restored, because no junior doctor today is worth less than a junior doctor in 2008.
Here in New York, a lawyer for Donald Trump says the former president will decline to appear before a grand jury investigating hush money payments made to adult film actor Stormy Daniels during the 2016 presidential campaign. On Monday, Trump's former personal attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, spent hours testifying to a state grand jury in Manhattan. Cohen previously pleaded guilty to charges of tax evasion, bank fraud, and lying to Congress about the hush money payments, which he says Trump directed him to make.
This is not revenge, right? What this is about accountability. I don't want to see anyone, including Donald Trump, indicted, prosecuted, convicted, incarcerated, simply because I fundamentally disagree with them. This is all about accountability. He needs to be held accountable for his dirty deeds.
And the acclaimed Japanese novelist Kenzaburo Oe has died at the age of 88. In 1994, he won the Nobel Prize for Literature. In 2014, Democracy Now! Interviewed him in Tokyo about his work, militarism, nuclear disarmament, Hiroshima, and more. Kenzaburo Oe spoke through an interpreter.
I believe that the issue or the experience of nuclear weapons is something too large for any individual to apologize for, and it's the responsibility of all humanity to take on board. So rather than an apology, I believe that what's important is to call for an expression of the will and the dedication to create a world free of nuclear weapons.
To see our interview with Kenzaburo Oe, go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. When we come back, we look at how executives at the now-collapsed Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank push for the weakening of banking regulations enacted after the 2008 financial crisis. Stay with us. Music by Hikari Oe, the son of Japanese novelist Kenzaburo Oe, the Nobel Literature Laureate. He has died at the age of 88. In our interview with him, he said his proudest accomplishment was being home every night to tuck his son in. To see the full interview, go to democracynow.org. Yes, this is Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, fallout continues to grow from the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. They were the largest bank failures since the 2008 financial crisis and the second and third largest bank failures in U.S. history. Over the weekend, the Biden administration took extraordinary measures to guarantee anyone who had accounts with the collapsed banks would be able to get back all of their money, regardless of the amount. under standard rules, the FDIC only insures $250,000 per account. The economist Dean Baker described the Biden administration's move as a bailout for bank customers with large deposits. Baker wrote, quote, "The reason this is a bailout is that the government is providing a benefit that the depositors did not pay for," unquote. Despite the Biden administration's actions, the stock value of a number of other regional banks have plummeted, raising fears of a larger banking crisis. Just after the stock market opened Monday, President Biden addressed the nation and defended the stability of the U.S. banking system.
"We must reduce the risk of this happening again. During the Obama-Biden administration, we put in place tough requirements on banks like Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, including the Dodd-Frank law to make sure that the crisis we saw in 2008 would not happen again. Unfortunately, the last administration rolled back some of these requirements. I'm going to ask Congress and the banking regulators to strengthen the rules for banks to make it less likely this kind of bank failure would happen again, and to protect American jobs and small businesses. Look, the bottom line is this. Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe. Your deposits are safe."
During the Trump administration, a number of Democrats joined Republicans in weakening the Dodd-Frank law. Executives from the now-collapsed Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank were among those who successfully lobbied to weaken the regulations for mid-sized banks. Those executives included former Congressmember Barney Frank, who joined the board of Signature Bank after leaving Congress, where he co-authored the Dodd-Frank bill. He lobbied to weaken his own bill. Over the past 7 years, Frank received at least $2.4 million in cash and stock from Signature Bank before the bank collapsed. We're now joined by two guests, David Sirota's award-winning investigative reporter, founder of the news website The Lever. His latest piece is headlined SVB's Lobby Group's Fought Proposal to Bolster Deposit Insurance. He's joining us from Denver, Colorado. And in Irvine, California, we're joined by Marisa Baradaran. She's a banking law professor at the University of California, Irvine. Her books include The Color of Money, Black Banks and the Racial Wealth Gap, and How the Other Half Banks, Exclusion, Exploitation, and the Threat to Democracy. Marisa Baradaran, let's begin with you. Can you respond to what took place over the weekend, the significance of the second and third largest bank failures in U.S. history, and how the Biden administration responded?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I mean, what we saw this weekend was another, if anyone's been paying attention, bank run that shouldn't have been a bank run because it doesn't look like a bank. It is something that, smells like and walks like a bank, but wasn't technically, regulated like a bank that it would be that size and shape would be regulated. And so that bank had a simple run. You know, there's panic caused by, you know, who knows, Peter Thiel and friends. And when there's panic, the bank is not long for this world. And that is exactly what happened to SVB Bank. And it is, you know, of course, exactly as what anyone could have predicted would happened, which is that a full force, from Powell to Yellen to President Biden saying, everything's fine, we'll take care of it. I mean, we all saw this. You know, Tim Geithner tried to do in 2009, not as well as what was done here. It's just, you know, you need trust in the system. You need people to put their money, keep their money in, because a run is really just, it's panic. It's psychology. It's a bank that is stable can be run and be unstable. That's all. Everyone could have expected that if you have a run of a bank this size, there would be this happening. The problem is that we kind of lied. We fudged about it beforehand. You know, we said, oh, no, this is not that kind of bank. We're not going to bail it out. This is the same thing as we saw with the shadow banking sector. It's the same thing in crypto. It's the same thing we see in any time we create these massive loopholes in the regular law, the law that was made to prevent bank runs. That's the whole banking structure. It's been perforated by holes for the last 30, 40 years by big holes from, from lobbyists, from industry. And when you put a bank in one of those holes, and it's a big bank, and you see that every venture capital fund is, or every startup fund is at that bank, you have to wonder why. And, the why is that there were some exceptions. And of course, when those go bad, the promises that were made when those exceptions were written into law, which are that it's not like the other banks, it won't have a bailout, those go away very quickly. And so it's really just about truth-telling. What kind of institution is it? And does it have to apply by the rules as every other institution like it?
I'd like to bring David Sirota into the conversation. David, your reaction to the Biden administration's efforts to address this crisis, especially given the fact that we've been told now ever since the last major financial crisis in 2008 that it was only the systemically important banks, the JP Morgan Chases, the Wells Fargos, the bank.